Good morning. Welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. Well, despite the mounting evidence that cell phones in schools have a negative impact on learning and social development, and the fact that a vast majority of parents are for increased limits, over half the middle schools in the United States still permit students to have their cell phones with them throughout the day. Many school districts, including the Anchorage School District, promote a bring-your-own-device policy when it comes to smartphones. How have cell phones worked their way into schools? Is it problematic? And what, if anything, should be done to address this issue in our community? Joining me today on Line One is Lisa Tabb, the executive producer for the documentary film Screenagers, which many of you in our community may have seen. And she is one of the driving forces behind the Away for the Day campaign, which focuses on advocating for common sense middle school policies that are in line with what the science tells us about the negative impacts these devices have on learning and social and emotional development. Welcome to the program, Lisa. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us a little later on at 20 after, for about 10 or 15 minutes in between meetings, is California School Board member Jeff Klugman, whose school district has just kind of gone through this whole process. So he'll share a little of what his experiences have been like as he's gone through it. Today, I'm really interested in what people in our community, what your thoughts are. The cell phone issue is something I've kind of taken on as a cause because of really the negative impacts I see every day from the relationship between our kids and technology. And I also hear regularly from teachers and parents that smartphones in schools is an unneeded distraction that is really, really disruptive. So I'm curious how folks out there are feeling about this issue, or if there's any concern about it, really. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts about the idea of middle schools going cell phone free. If you have a question or a comment for Lisa, we'd love to hear from you. In Anchorage, we can be reached at 550-8433. You can reach us on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-353-5752 if you're listening outside of Anchorage. Or you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about Screenagers. It's a show that I've moderated here, I think, 7 or 8 times in different schools, in different settings. Why did the idea of Screenagers come up, and what's the success and the response been like nationwide?
Yeah, so Screenagers was created and developed by my film partner, Delaney Rustin, who's a doctor and a filmmaker. And she was experiencing issues around screens and teens in her own home and in her practice, and really started to want to learn what was the impact of all this screen time on our kids. And this, you know, her exploration started more than 5 years ago now, and came to light that this was everybody. If you were a parent of a teen anywhere in the world, you were trying to grapple with all the screen time. So that's really how Screenagers came about. And it's been out for a few years, but it is more popular than ever. We show it only in communities, because the idea around the movie is to create a conversation. We really think that solutions are only going to happen and real change is only going to happen when we work on this together as a community. And although the movie talks about a lot of science and stories, it doesn't give you all the solutions. So the idea is to open the conversation.
Yeah, it's a really important point. I think conversations like this one we're having today, I've interviewed Dr. Rustin, I think 3 or 4 times now about the movie and the science behind it. So if people want to find out more about that, they can go back into our archives at alaskapublic.org and search Delaney Rustin or Line One, and you'll find lots of information. So check those out. I guess Screenagers has been something, whenever anybody asks me to moderate it, I say yes, and I show up, and we have great conversations. And one of my favorite ones was with kids. in elementary school who have access, many of them have access to phone calls, but their conversation with me was probably more interesting and had more depth to it than many I have with the adults. What are kids saying about cell phones in middle schools?
Well, you know, kids, of course, want access to their phones. They want access to their video games and their social feeds. Who can blame them, right? This is a time of life when they are looking. What is most important to them is fitting in, and this is a big part of it. But at the same time, we're also hearing from kids that feel overwhelmed and they feel sort of locked in and in a box. And when we give them the opportunity to take some time off, they often, the result is they feel a sense of relief and they're thankful for having some boundaries around it.
Yeah.
But like you said, elementary school is, the average age now of a smartphone ownership is 10 now. So when we started showing this movie just 2.5 years ago, elementary schools weren't really part of this conversation.
Right.
It wasn't an issue. They weren't there. They are there now.
Yeah, it was focused mostly on high school, middle school, high school age. But yes, it's happening in the elementary schools, and we're having this conversation about middle school, so maybe the elementary schools will take care of itself. But yeah, more and more kids want that instant gratification, that quick connect. They are wiring their brains. This is something I talk to my clients about all the time. Kids don't have, young people at 10, 11, 12 don't have the self-regulation. That part of the brain hasn't developed, and they can just get this little dopamine pump going over and over again with these cell phones. And it's a simple reward, chemical reward system that is triggered. And kids want it, but you're right. They are relieved when some limits are put, and you can see their creativity and joy kind of coming back over time. But it takes a while.
And there's also the issue around Fortnite and playing games, right?
Yes, yes.
Right now. And so we're coming off of summer here where we have heard from so many parents that have just thrown in the towel and let their kids play Fortnite all summer long, right? And so I'm shocked at sort of the cultural shift around this game specifically, how it's taking over. And one of the factors in that is that it can be played on every kind of device, including a cell phone. So it is happening at school when you are hand them something that they can play it on. So that is a whole other part of it.
And we'll get into more. Hopefully we'll hear from some teachers later on, or some school folks or parents who have concerns about this. But right now, I'll go ahead and we'll go to our first phone call. Stephanie, you're on line one. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
So I'm just really concerned about the amount of screen time these kids are having. I'm a foster parent in Fairbanks, and we have a rule that we don't have phones at the house. They can pick up their phones when then we leave the house. So we don't have phones at night. We don't have phones during the day. We have one phone that's a landline. And it's the only way I can really keep any kind of semblance of normalcy. They're not allowed to take their phones out in class. If they do, they get their phones taken away. There's rules around that. And my overall general comment is just about this whole culture of phone zombies, kids and adults alike, all over the place, everywhere you go, restaurants, bus stops, it doesn't matter, people are driving, everybody's on their phone staring at it. And I think it's a danger to our whole society.
All right, thanks for the call, Stephanie. Those are all very valid and well-put thoughts. Comments, Lisa?
Yeah, and, you know, so much of downtime has become screen time.
Yeah.
And that is just something that we need to bring intention to as parents, as educators, as mentors to kids. We just need to think about what we're doing and what they're learning from and creating some spaces. Sometimes it's the best way to think about reducing screen time is figuring out the places, like the caller talked about, where they don't have access to screens, right? So whether that's in the car, whether that's, you know, at school, at dinner, not during homework, not an hour before they go to sleep, suddenly you've created some, you know, some spaces where they don't. And the other thing is keeping our kids really busy and helping them support their passions, and because of this issue of downtime has become screen time. So keeping them, you know, involved in replacement activities.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem, and we need to get to the school issue for sure, but part of the problem is, as parents, like, if kids are in this habit of getting this dopamine reward center thing, gaming, social media, all this stuff connected, and then we as parents get worried about it and we try to restrict that, there's a huge backlash and a battle. And oftentimes giving kids this technology too early, somebody said, don't let Pandora out of the box, like keep it in as long, I think it was Steve Jobs or one of those guys said, once you let Pandora out of the box, it's a different game. So yeah, the Fortnite stuff is really scary. The social media stuff with the girls, I think parents educating themselves, and as you said, putting some common sense limits and modeling, responsible cell phone use and balance. I think it's hard enough for adults, and then we expect 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds to do it. Seems
right.
Like
and
a
it's
big
not
ask.
So much. Yeah, and it's not even the danger aspect. Of course, that's an aspect of it, but what we're really concerned about is the sheer amount of time. So, and all the little microaggressional hits that kids are getting throughout the day when they're looking at their phones throughout the day at school, and how that then affects their, you know, academic and emotional, where they are emotionally. So it's you know, just seeing some event that they were left out of, or some friend that they measure themselves against that they think looks better or is doing something that they would like to be doing, and then it kind of sends them into despair. It's all those kinds of things that we need to be considering too.
Yeah, I call that kids are comparing their insides to everybody else's outsides these days through social media, and looking at these snapshots of people's lives where their hair is perfect and everything is joyous and free. And that's not reality, but that is what, and adults are doing the same thing. Look at everybody else is living these fabulous lives, and all I am here is watching. FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. I want to remind folks, we're talking to Lisa Tabb today about schools and cell phones in middle schools, and the possibility, or what's happening nationwide, of limiting cell phone access in schools, or essentially eliminating it. You can reach us with your questions or comments in Anchorage at 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, where you can get us at 1-888-353-5752, or you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, can you talk quickly about the Away for the Day campaign? What is that? How to get started? What's happening with it?
So the Away for the Day campaign is simply an initiative we are pushing to have middle schools. And, I mean, frankly, we would love it in all schools, but specifically middle schools, to have no phones, so that phones are either put in lockers or left at home, or if you have to, put it in your backpack, or stored somewhere, right, in the pocket, in a cell phone pocket, in a classroom or in a basket. So the idea around this is, from all of the research around how it affects kids academically and emotionally, there's tons of research that shows that scores go up when cell phones are out of classrooms. Cell phones go up when they're, academics go up when they're just not even on them, even if they're off, but they are physically on them, it makes an impact on their academics.
Right.
And so what the idea around Away for the Day is to empower the parents and the teachers and the principals to go ahead and make a change. We have heard from people all over the country. The movie's been shown more than 7,000 times now, and we've heard that this is one of the biggest factors, and yet people don't know how to get involved and help make policy change. So the idea what we did is we did a survey and found that 56% of parents of middle schoolers said that their kids were allowed to have their phones at school and have access to their phones all day for middle school. And yet 80% of those parents don't want their kids using the phone at middle schools. And so what we had heard is that, you know, there's pushback from principals about changing it for a number of reasons, but one is just that the parents want to reach their kids during the day. And what we found that's actually that more parents don't want their kids to have their phones. So we started this as a way to help. On the site is basically the initiative and the campaign is really about the resources that live on awayfortheday.org, where you can find policies at schools and their consequences. You can find research. We have bibliographies of the academic effect and the emotional effect. We have testimonials from principals, from kids, from teachers who have made a change. So that is really what it is about, is inciting some action for all the players.
It seems like as a group of adults, if the research and the science indicates that it's better for kids' ability to learn and to pay attention. And I guess what people don't understand is that simply the kids having their phones in their pockets on and being aware of them distracts them. It doesn't have to be, they don't have to be actively using them. Somebody next to you having their phone out is a distraction. So it's not really just having them off. It's having, being aware of them, your attention
right.
drawn to them. So what is the pushback from parents? If it's not, I mean, what is the obstacle?
The main pushback from parents is that they want to be able to reach their kids all day, and then the safety issue. So I have two things to say about that. One is the reaching your kids all day. Up until, you know, just a few years ago, for, you know, the history of when kids were going to school and there were telephones, you call the office. Nothing has changed. There's still landlines in the office, and the office will get a message to your student, and then the student will come to the office. And then there's an opportunity for that kid to make a connection to another adult in the school, because that's super important, is for kids to find adults in their lives that they connect to. So that just gives another opportunity. So that's just one. We hear from teachers that the parents are often the biggest offenders of the phone ringing or texting.
Absolutely.
Throughout the day. Right? So I know just a colleague in my office was her daughter goes to a middle school where they are not supposed to have the phones, and yet the enforcement policy is not—it's not enforced strongly.
Right.
And so she was receiving texts from her daughter, and in the middle of the day, and she was responding. And I said, you know, why don't you not respond? Why don't you not respond? In fact, you could call the school right now and have a note sent, and they'll announce on the playground for her to come to the office
and tell her please stop texting in school.
Please stop texting. Right. So it is up to all. So that's one, and then the other is the safety issue. And in fact, we have, you know, the security people that we've talked to at high levels talk about how phones are actually can cause a much bigger problem when something bad is going on in school and there's a lockdown, right? So
yeah.
There's one is that the phone lines can be jammed when they need to be getting through to the, you know, the right people need to be getting through. And then two, of course, the sound of the phone ringing or the sound or the buzz or the sound of kids talking to their parents. That can be extremely dangerous. And then the third part is the perpetrator can be monitoring social media to figure out what is going on and where they can, you know, where they should go next. So there's just a lot of reasons why that's not a great excuse.
I absolutely understand the fear, though, of parents in today's age wanting to be able to get in touch with their kids and know that they're okay. in that moment.
Right.
But yeah, as you said, talking to high level people and looking at the literature indicates that there are problems and multiple phone calls to, 911, different reports of what's happening can cause a great deal of confusion and commotion. So it looks like Jeff has called in and he's waiting on the line. But before we go to Jeff, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. For those of you who might be tuning in late, my guest today is Lisa Tabb, who's the executive producer for the film Screenagers. And along with Dr. Delaney Rustin, started the Away for the Day campaign that promotes a phone-free learning environment for middle schools. Today, we're discussing the reasons behind this movement and looking at the experiences in some of the schools. After this short break, Jeff Klugman will share what it's been like in their community as they work to make this change. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line 1 on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org. Lead is bad for the health of Alaskans, especially for young children. It affects developing brains, so even small amounts are unsafe. Lead can be hiding in older paint, workplaces, ammunition, fishing weights, aviation gas, and marine paint. If you think you or your child has been exposed, ask a healthcare provider about testing. Get the lead out, Alaska. Learn more at leadfree.dhss.alaska.gov. This message brought to you by the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Welcome back. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Lisa Tabb, who's the executive producer for the film Screenagers, and along with Dr. Delaney Rustin, started the Away for the Day campaign, which promotes a phone-free learning environment for middle schoolers. Today, we're discussing the reasons behind this movement, looking at the experiences some schools who have already made these changes are having. And I'm particularly interested in your question or comments about today's topic. Right now, we're going to go to Jeff Klugman in California, if he's with us. We have a couple other phone callers, so if you guys could be patient. Jeff's got a limited amount of time. Welcome to the show, Jeff. Appreciate you joining us.
Hi, Prentice. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Lisa, you still with us?
I am. Hello.
Okay. So, Jeff, tell us your role on the school board and what prompted kind of this idea to force this issue of schools being cell phone free.
Sure. And, just by way of background, I live in Portola Valley, California, which is in the center of Silicon Valley, immediately adjacent to Palo Alto and Stanford. So kind of if you try to geographically orient yourself, we are in the very middle of a very technology-oriented community.
Right.
And I've been involved with technology for about 35 years. I was until I semi-retired about 2 years ago. I was the chief revenue, chief product officer for a technology company named TiVo, and have kind of been involved firsthand with technology and its implementation and design of user experiences to make sure people stay engaged with their media. So part of why I got involved with the school board in the first place was I, of course, surprisingly had two kids going through the local schools and was seeing firsthand what I would really characterize as the overzealous approach to bringing technology into the classroom, which drove me to consider a run for the elected office of school board when I retired about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And the platform that I ran on was actually related to less technology and more talk in the classroom. And I found folks that were very aligned with that point of view in Delaney and Lisa and the work they had done with Screenagers and then much more recently with Away for the Day. So sorry for that background, but I
no, think that's good.
A little bit of the why.
Yeah.
And when we started looking at it, in addition to the what I would characterize as the abuse of smartphones in the classroom, you know, we also had other things going on, which we were addressing and still trying to address, which was in a somewhat affluent community. We have parents and educators who want kids to have access to technology all the time, and that meant we had early introduction to Chromebooks, kind of a take-home. Every single child was given a Chromebook in fourth grade, and you know, we're not going to necessarily talk about that here, but it does go a little bit to the mindset of
absolutely.
Why it was so easy for smartphones to kind of easily find their way, not just into the hands of kids, but also into classrooms as a quasi-teaching aid. And both of those things were things that we, and when I say we, both myself and others in the community were working to address. And Away for the Day provided us with the evidence that we needed to make the case that kids having smartphones with them in their pockets all day long, taking them from class into the restrooms, into lunch areas, was not appropriate. And maybe just to continue, our school didn't have an open policy of being able to use smartphones everywhere. We actually told the kids that they had to keep them off. But the problem that we and other parents and even some educators saw were that if you put this device in someone's pocket and tell them to turn it off, they're not going to turn it off. It's going to be with them. They're going to check it when they go into the bathroom. They're going to check it when they're out on lunch break or out on some recess, because the temptation is there. And in many cases, they're not turning it off, and they're hearing or feeling it buzzing in their pocket. And they have a very hard time resisting that impulse, because kids at this age are still learning impulse control. And why are we tempting them with this impulse control testing device all the time?
Yeah, and the, you know, doing reading for this and other programs, you know, I've come across articles from the developers of, you know, Facebook and some of these other Snapchat, Instagrams, and the intention, as you said, was to consume time, to create a need for people to go back to take as much of your time and your attention as they can for this device. And and it's effective, and it's especially effective on the developing brain. And the science indicates that kids are susceptible to instant gratification, have difficult time with self-regulation. As you said, why are we putting this in front of them and giving that as an option? So you decided to take this on. Anchorage has, I looked up their device policy, and it's essentially, you know, bring your own device, but it's in your pocket or your bag, unless the teacher tells you to take it out, and then for only school purposes, academic purposes, no texting, no, I mean, it's got all the stuff, but there's no way that a teacher wants to spend their day trying to police 35 kids and see what they're doing at all these different times. That's the gray area.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, one of the things that I found in the work that Lisa and Dr. Rustin were doing and there was a particular piece of evidence which you may have saw, which had to do with the further away the device was from the child, the better the academic result was. And I think very specifically, you know, the academic result got worse when it was in their pocket, got better as it was in their backpack, got even better when it was in their locker, and got even better still when it was left at home. And, you know, I'm probably misquoting the research a little bit, but I think that is, you know, more or less what it showed. And, you know, I will say that we ended up with a compromise in our district. We were able to at least get it out of the pockets of kids and force it into either a locker or a backpack. Could not be kept on the person of the or in the kids' clothing anymore. And, you know, it was interesting. I felt very strongly that it should be in a locker, in a place where it was not potentially being carried around all day. And, you know, I'm still not 100% satisfied with
right.
the place where we've gotten to. On the other hand, you know, I was counseled by both Delaney and Lisa, among other parents in the community, that you also need to take small wins as you go. And moving it from the kids' clothing into a place where at least wasn't with them all the time is an improvement. And then the other second part that we accomplished this year was we previously had an environment where any single teacher could bring a smartphone into the learning, and I'm using the word a little bit in quotes, learning environment. And, you know, there are some clever ways of using smartphones.
Yeah.
You know, if they're distributed in the classroom for impromptu Quizlets and things like that. The problem is, of course, and, you know, I'm sort of preaching to the choir in this, but you give a kid a smartphone and, you know, a bit of, gender stereotyping, but, you know, yes, the kid may participate in that Quizlet, but the boy is going to go play Fortnite and the girl is going to go check her social media. And yes, I realize it could be a little bit reversed, but
right.
That is, in fact, exactly what was occurring in the classrooms. And yes, they might get 1 minute of learning benefit, but the downside was, you know, an hour of social distraction because of what they just did when they picked up their phone.
So what was the big pushback that kept it from being in lockers? Who was the group? What was the reason?
Yeah. So the primary reason was, and I'm going to say it without necessarily trying to defend it.
Okay.
But there were a group of parents who actually were very supportive of moving smartphones into a less accessible place, but found that the extra, quite literally, probably 5 extra minutes at pickup at the end of the day by the kids having to go from whatever room they were in to a different part of campus to go back to their locker would delay their departure from school. And, you know, it does sound a little silly, and
okay.
I struggled with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel in order to gain support of a number of people who I think wanted to do the right thing, I agreed to support that compromise. And I think that, you know, every year we'll get a chance to revisit it. And as I said, it's an improvement, but you know, I can't say I'm 100% satisfied with the solution, but I do think it's an improvement.
All right. So what advice would you have for somebody who's getting ready to, you know, somebody like myself who, or other parents who may want to get active in this movement to try to, like, maybe do something in our middle schools? Like, what are the things that we need to think about and be aware of?
Yeah, so I will tell you that, you know, I did many of the things that were recommended by the Away for the Day website.
All right.
I actually availed myself of the assets that were there, both the research to make sure I knew that I could make fact-based arguments. There were sample letters that are, I think, still available on the website. Lisa can obviously confirm that.
Yeah.
And I used that, and I also encouraged people that I knew in the community, and they encouraged people that they knew in the community. And we had probably maybe 20% to 25% of parents with kids in sixth and seventh grade that ultimately sent letters, and I mean electronic letters of some sort, to the school district, which is a pretty high percentage of people choosing to act on anything. And that got the superintendent listening. And then once they, meaning the superintendent and his staff, were listening, both myself and a number of other people in the community availed themselves of the opportunity to go talk live and discuss firsthand the personal examples we all had experienced with our own kids and distractions from electronics in the classroom.
All right, so it sounds like parental involvement is important, getting a movement, and it sounds like it's something, and I know from my own personal experience, parents talk about this all the time, and it's a big concern, and I don't know a lot of parents that just really support their kid having a cell phone out and about in class, obviously, but we need parental support to create that sort of energy for change, and then, as you said, use the research and the statistics that back it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, had we just sent letters without the backup research,
right.
It would not have gotten to it was. I think that, you know, I think that schools pride themselves on trying to make decisions based on facts and research. And it was extraordinarily helpful to be able to sit down with the superintendent and to encourage him to take a look at it. I will share one other minor factoid, which I know will not be relevant to many other people in the community, but it's an interesting one in that our superintendent somewhat uniquely is a Francophile and has friends that he stays with each summer in France. And the reason I mention that, and Prentice, you may be familiar with this, but it was literally during this summer that France enacted a nationwide policy of moving smartphones out of the classroom in its entirety. And
right.
they're able to do that on a national level. And I think having him firsthand be in the midst of friends that he knew well that also had children and seeing a nationwide policy go into effect. I mean, I realize we can't send every superintendent over to France, but I think the fact that it isn't just a U.S. issue, but the fact that other groups of people are dealing with this, and in many cases, they're dealing with it in a stronger, more black and white way that we are, I think gives strength to people to make even the modest changes that we're making here.
All right. Jeff, I know you have kind of a hard stop, so I appreciate you taking the time to join us today on Line One and share kind of a little bit about your story. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Yeah, that's interesting because, France. Can you talk just briefly about that, Lisa,
Sure.
what they've done over there?
Yeah, so France enacted a law, it's part of the educational code, that kids up to essentially age 15, so it doesn't affect all kids, but it's certainly elementary all the way through what we would call middle and even part of high school, cannot have their phones all day. They can't have their phones during lunch or during breaks, and they can't have their phones in class. And it's pretty groundbreaking. We're actually, Delaney and I are talking about going over and filming in the next month or so to see that as a nationwide effect.
Well, that seems like a great thing to observe is how does that work and what are the challenges and what are the benefits from that? Let's go real quickly. We have somebody, it's a couple people have been holding for a while. So Heather, you're on line one, go ahead.
Good morning. My question is, with its addictive triggering of dopamine in the brain, how has use of electronic devices and giving homework assignments via computer, as has been done in Fairbanks for at least 15 years, in high school anyway, contributed to computer addictions and to the opioid epidemic? And I can take my answer offline.
Thank you very much, Heather. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. There's not a study about that that specific link. However, I think what she's referring to is that the brain, and we talk about this in Screenagers, when the brain is using the addicted brain online looks the same as the addicted brain to a substance. So it's the same neural pathways that are being elicited.
Right.
And I know that in our movies, there's a boy that we follow named Andrew who went to a internet rehab center and graduated, and he had flunked out of school. He'd gone on to college and was playing video games all night to the point of flunking out of school, and then his parents sent him to the rehab center. But what's kind of interesting is that not long after he came out of the rehab center, he actually got addicted to drugs and now is actually doing great and works for the rehab center. But it just kind of is a real life example of that link. And then the idea around homework and the amount of time that kids have to spend online, including homework. I mean, we need to really think about that. So the kid in a normal girl in a normal day wakes up and she maybe checks in with her friends online and then on her phone. And then she goes to school and maybe it's a one-to-one school and she's on screens all day long with that. And then she comes home, has a little downtime, and she's one of the lucky ones, and she has, dance or trombone practice or whatever it is. And then she comes home, and she has a little downtime, and she checks in on her screens. And then she has dinner, no screens, but then she goes back online for a couple more hours to do homework. you know, we are talking about, you can see how it easily creeps in. And it's a problem. The phone aspect of homework and the part that's done on the computer gets very confused. There's a lot of, you know, group work that goes on. And so my daughter, who's 15, will often say that she has to be online with her friends doing this group project. And so how do we take that, you know, what is that balance of, you know, what we do, and kind of lobbying our teachers to really consider what can the kids do offline for homework. You know, they can even do it offline, take a snap picture of it, upload it, and send it to them if that's what they want it, because they want it electronically. But they don't have to do everything online. And talking to your kids about tech breaks, and, you know, so that they don't have their phone with them while they're doing their homework. But you maybe don't want to make them feel like they're going to have to, you know, so for 2 hours now, I'm not going to have my phone. So kind of figuring out with them how long is the longest time you feel like you can focus, and then maybe take a five-minute break to check your phone if you need to, but not at the same time, right? Don't do them together.
Right. So set some clear limits and parameters. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Lisa Tabb, who's the executive producer of the film Screenagers, and along with Dr. Delaney Rustin, started the Away for the Day campaign, which promotes a cell phone-free learning environment for middle schoolers. Today we're discussing the reasons behind this, looking at some of the science that talks about learning problems and attention problems that go along with cell phones in middle schools. You can reach us with your questions or comments in Anchorage at 550-8433. Toll-free number anywhere outside of Anchorage is 1-888-353-5752, and you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. After this short break, we'll return to our discussion with Lisa and take some more phone calls. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line 1, your health connection.
Funding for Line 1, Your Health Connection, was made possible in part by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and listeners just like you. Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Line 1, Your Health Connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. For anyone who's tuning in late, my guest today is Lisa Tabb, the executive producer for the film Screenagers. We are talking today about the Away for the Day campaign, which promotes a cell phone-free learning environment. Right now we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones. We'll take Lawrence, who's been waiting for a while. Go ahead, you're on line one. Lawrence, you there? Okay, I guess Lawrence is gone. So we'll go back to Lisa. So Lisa, we're talking ahead of time earlier about cell phone policy changes. What are the things that you guys are seeing? How much interest are you having from this nationwide? Like, is there a lot of movement in this direction? Is there a momentum building? What are you and Dr. Rustin finding?
We do see a momentum building. There's, you know, when we first came out, that we got several thousand pledges within a couple of days of parents that wanted to help do one thing. And that is, you know, that is happening. We're starting to hear more and more of change. There's a woman who's in Colorado that started a petition via change.org to get it changed for most of Colorado. And that's like on our on awayfortheday.org, we actually have a sample petition you can use and adapt to your needs. We've heard from a school that had initially made an announcement at the end of the year that they were changing their cell phone policy to the phones would have to go in pockets, which is, you know, one of the things that we believe in, but that, you know, it was a school where the kids were going from class to class, and that they changed it just, you know, during the summer from what they initially had thought to, no, the phones are going to go off, need to be out of sight all day. They can't have them during lunch or breaks. So I do believe there's momentum. I think we're kind of at this tipping point where I have heard from so many teachers that are fed up and so many teachers that maybe have taught for decades and are wanting to retire because they just can't deal with the competition of the phone and the distraction. Right. And it's heartbreaking, really, that this has come to it. So, but I am seeing more and more principals starting to make a change. I know in my daughter's high school I was involved, it took a year. We had 12 meetings, and we had a committee of parents that brought it to in our school. So one of the things you've asked is how do you get it changed in school? And every school is different, right? The leadership, how they make decisions is different. And so figuring that out, how you're going to navigate it in your school. So in my daughter's school, everything comes from what they call a leadership committee and is comprised of parents, teachers, administrators, and students. They all get to weigh in on these, what they call cultural changes, right? So they see this as a culture change in their school, not so much an academic change.
Right.
And it took quite a bit of work getting everybody's buy-in, but that's how we had to go. But many schools, they're just, you know, principals are just taking the lead and saying, nope, I'm changing this, and they can. Or school districts are changing it from their side. But sometimes you have to figure out who are the key players that will really make the change, and that's the first step.
I want to echo your earlier comments about the frustration from the teachers. I work, you know, a lot. I speak in the schools. I go to schools and talk to teacher groups. And sort of behind the scenes, the teachers all tell me it's completely out of control, that they've just given up. Like, there's not enough support from administration. There's not enough support from parents is the other thing I hear all the time. Like, parents get mad if you take their kid's cell phone. And teachers want to teach. They don't want to fight and police, be the cell phone police all day, every day. And I think a lot of teachers are sort of getting, as you said, disenfranchised and fed up. They say technology has changed the school.
Right. And not having the support, like you said, is critical. So when they say, when schools have a policy where it's up to each teacher, and then some teachers do it and some teachers don't, they don't feel supported. And I've heard from teachers that, you know, specifically in my daughter's school, a teacher came up to me in town and said, thank you so much for helping push this, because I felt like I was the only one before. So now, and so I wasn't inclined to enforce it, but now I feel, you know, empowered because it's now a rule across the board. So,
yeah, I think.
There's one other little thing that I did, which was I went and bought actually pockets for before the rules were changed. I asked the principal if she would mind if I offered any teacher who wanted one of those cell phone pockets for to have in their classroom, and she said sure, that'd be fine. And so I just bought a whole bunch, left them in the office, and the office administrator sent an email out to all the teachers and said, these are here if you want them. And so before the policy was even enacted, about 3/4 of the school had already changed it because of that one simple step.
People want it and they seem timid. I don't know if that's the word, afraid to really speak strongly about it. You know, my 12-year-old daughter's in 7th grade now, and she does not have a phone, and she's one of the few. And she says at lunch, she just kind of sits there and looks around because everybody else is on on their phones, on their devices, and she kind of feels left out. And, you know, I told her today, like, I'm going to try to change that. You know, that's one of my missions, is to try to get the middle school's cell phone free. And she's like, oh, great. Now I'm going to be the girl with the dad that's, like, ruined it for everybody.
Right.
Like, so she's not super excited about that. But, and maybe it won't happen for her. But my hope is that for my two younger kids, they can push this down the road. And, you know, frankly, my personal opinion is 9th and 10th graders, too. Like, make it an upper class thing, sort of like leaving campus or, you know, some of those other privileges. But anyway, we got a couple of phone calls I want to get to. Caroline's been waiting. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. I wanted to mention three real quick things. Number one, I've noticed parents using their cell phones a lot, whether they have infants in the carriage or little children.
Right.
When children see something, they want it if other people have it. And then number two, the thing that I see happening, and I know it happens in myself, we are reactive to what we get on our cell phones as opposed to being creative. And children need quiet time to be creative. And the one thing I would suggest for your daughter perhaps and other young people is that if they're isolated from everyone else, that they sit there and figure out something they'd like to write about, or something they'd like to do, and maybe they make a list of things that would help them get to do that. So that they're being creative, and they're doing something that they will enjoy later.
All right, Caroline, thanks for the call. And I think that call speaks, you know, really to some of the science behind creativity and problem solving, is that as kids get all this input and stimulation from an outside source, that they don't have to use the creative parts of their brain, and actually diminishes it. And that's where I hear all this when parents say they turn off their kids' devices and just eliminate the Wi-Fi. Their kids are bored because they aren't used to creating their own experiences. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, I just had something quick to add, which was we screened the movie at Pixar, and one of the executives talked about how it's fairly easy to find people that can program the animation, but what's hard are the story, the people that can tell the stories and do the drawings, and that he himself doesn't allow cell phones or computer use for his kids until they're older. So yeah.
That's a really, it's something I cannot stress enough, is the fact that most of the tech folks and many of those in higher up and the inventors of this stuff send their kids to schools that don't use technology until very, very late. And, you know, one of the interviews I read said, you know, he said, these computers are sort of, you know, they're sort of easy. You can figure this stuff out pretty quickly in high school. You don't really need to be on a computer at four or five years old. So let's go to Jim. We'll take one more call. Go ahead, Jim. You're on line one.
Yes, a friend of mine had a brand new Corvette in Texas, and he wanted to drive whatever speed limit he could. And so he bought a cell phone block and device he had in his vehicle. He just pushed that button, and it would kill everybody's signal, and they would start driving like they're supposed to, and away he could go. Do we have those available for public places?
That's a good question. And Lisa, it's one I've asked schools. Why don't you just have something like at the airport where you push a button in the school in the principal's office and it jams cell phone signals? Don't they have that technology?
They do have that technology, but so many schools want to use, it interferes with then their other devices that they want to use. So that's often the reason.
I always thought that would just be the easy solution. You go to school and the principal pushes a button at bell time and it all goes off except for their internal network.
Right.
But maybe that's just too simple.
There is some one thing that is about to come out, which is Apple is releasing parental controls for specific apps, and so you'll be able to go in and set time limits on apps or time blocks. So when that actually gets released, we're going to do a big push to really let people know that's a great way that parents can get involved, is just turn off their Snapchat and their games and their Instagram and everything that doesn't have to do with schoolwork if they are being told that they have to use their phones at school. At least you can have that kind of control. And you can do that again at night and other times. So you set some limits. And I also say to do this though with the kids. Talk to the kids about it. Don't just go in and be, you know, dogmatic. Have a conversation so everybody kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah, I often tell parents say, I don't know how to get it back, right? I don't know how to get control back. And I tell them, it's okay to tell your kids that this thing got away from you and you really didn't know that at 14, this was going to be the biggest thing that you fight about in your family, right? And that there's going to have to be some changes or they just have to go away. And
right.
I do think like modeling, that's what Caroline was speaking to, the importance of setting up times in your home and setting up some balance in your own experience with social media and technology, and then having limits for your kids. Because, I mean, what was the experiment that I think it was something that Delaney did, or there's an article I read where these kids were given unfettered access for 48 hours, and I think some of them used 40 hours of screen time. You know,
right?
It was just to the point where they weren't eating, you know, they were dehydrated. Like kids just get lost and immersed in that world.
Right, right. It's a problem. And we as parents can set boundaries, and we shouldn't forget that we are the parent.
Okay, it looks like we have a couple more phone calls that came in, but I think they're going to be, I'm not sure what we're going to do with them. So, Lisa, what's the last minute or so that we have? What are some take-home points that you'd want people to remember or really think about from this?
I want people to remember just, you know, screen time, that downtime has become screen time, and that we really need to bring attention to what we're doing, and that parents, teachers, principals can all get involved in changing school policies. It would be our gift to give our kids some block of time where they don't have to be pulled by the device. And I really, if you can kind of switch your thinking to it's a gift that we're giving our kids. And so if you we're here to support awayfortheday.org just has lots of help for you to go in. It's all, you know, all the research and everything is free on there to go in and figure out, what you can use.
All right. Well, that is great information as always. I love having you and Dr. Rustin as a resource to tap into as we all kind of navigate this minefield that is technology and our children. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, Lisa. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for keeping the calls going.
All right. For anyone interested in reading more about this conversation, you can find lots of information on the show page. Just go to alaskapublic.org and click on the link to today's show. Away for the Day is a great place to start. It gives you lots of information and resources about how to make this change happen in our community. Next week, I'll be back with something. I'm not sure exactly what. I'm efforting a couple of different conversations, but hopefully it'll be something interesting and you'll tune in to hear that discussion. Eric Bork did our web editing for today's show. Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. Thanks for taking the time to join us today on Line One. Till next time, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.